You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show, extra long Thursday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. We said goodbye to both co-host Jim Healy and guest Dino Wall. And in the studio right now, Becky Revac, the program coordinator for the Panetta Theater, and Patricia Walker-White, the executive director, I want to say.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. What brings you in this time around is the animation show of shows.
That's right.
I was fortunate enough to talk to Ron Diamond, the producer of the animation show of shows, talk to him on the phone, and we'll play that interview in just a little while. But first, let's get local with it. How did this animation show of shows find its way to the Panetta Theater?
Well, last time we talked to you, we had talked about how we'd went to the Art House Convergence. And during the Art House Convergence is where we met up with Ron Diamond there. And we talked to Ron for quite a while, and the people that they deal with all over the United States. And one of the things that Ron has done throughout his life is worked with animation. And this is actually the 17th animation show of shows. And so it's the first time, though, that he is putting it out to movie theaters.
And we actually stood there and said, you know, we love this box set. Could we just do this at the theater? And he said, you know, I've kind of had that thought, but I haven't actually done anything with it yet. And so we said, we'd like to be first on the list if you decide to put this out to art houses. And he did.
Yeah.
So we were on the list to get it. So that made it all the more special.
Because until now, it's just been playing like in colleges and like film schools, I guess.
Pixar is actually, basically Pixar was the elite school that it went to, ILM, Pixar, all those types of places. Vancouver, everybody that studied animation is who was receiving these, and nobody else. The public, they could go online eventually after they got, you know, culminated together, and then they could see them, and that was it. They could buy them online, and now they're able to show them to the art houses and send them out, and the public can see them first.
And you guys have now seen these. You've seen the whole thing?
I have.
Becky has?
Yeah.
I have not. I reserved it until the premiere, so.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait.
Are you? You think we're going to like it?
You're going to love it.
Yeah. This is not too long ago. I had Cameron in here from the Reader, Cameron Rasmussen, to talk about there was another animated film. And the name is escaping me again.
Anomalisa.
There you go. Thank you. It's a made up word. I can't remember that.
It's anomaly. Yeah. And Lisa. Yeah.
Anomalisa. Anyway, but you guys are bringing the animated movies to Sandpoint, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And when we do the Oscar shorts, the animated section is actually one of the most popular sections. So we had a good feel that Sandpoint would like to see this animation show of shows. Yeah. And Cameron actually spoke with Ron Diamond as well and previewed them. And Ron Diamond posted a comment that Cameron was able to get the essence of animation and quite well. And so, I'm hopeful that everybody else gets out of it what Cameron was able to get.
Yeah. In fact, I talked to Ron on the phone yesterday. And he was totally just excited about the article that Cameron wrote. He just was like, that was such a great article. And he just really captured everything. And it was just, he goes, I hope that article just brings people to see the shows. And yeah, so he was really psyched about the article.
Is that in this week's Reader?
Last week's.
Yeah. I guess I didn't read the Reader last week. I'm remiss.
I have to go back and grab that issue for the new one.
I guess so. Yeah, I think it's still sitting down on the stoop, so yeah. I'll grab it. The animation show of shows is that's the name of it. You're going to show the whole thing, just start to finish?
It's an hour and a half long, and it's a culmination of shorts that were brought in, put together from around the world. And they're like basically the best animation pieces. And the thing that's neat about it is it's little stories. They're short stories that have been put together and animated. And you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's animation, it's just cartoons, but it's not. There's a great piece called it's a Love in the Time of March Madness. And it's about a young girl who's 6'4" and it's hilarious. And she plays basketball, if you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And it's a great piece. And it's, again, short stories that ended up being animated that you couldn't necessarily do live action, you know? So if you get a chance to come, they're beautiful.
Yeah. I touched on this in my conversation with Ron, so I might be repeating myself later on in the show. But it's interesting that for whatever reason, maybe because Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny were so popular, right, cartoons in this country seem to be, you think of it as a kid's entertainment. But there are other places in the world where there's no real reason that it has to be that way. There's no reason that this form of expression is designed specifically for children and doesn't apply to adults or anything like that.
Well, they've got an awful lot of adult genres on later at night on regular TV now that you wouldn't want your kids to watch.
That's
so
true, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he has a version of this show that he could bring to us that'd be more of like a late night version. But this is the PG version.
Okay. Yeah, kid-friendly.
This is kid-friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is kid friendly. It's kids and adults.
Yeah,
we'll both get something out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And different styles of animation. That's what's also nice when you get to see a collection, is you can see a difference in the types of animation that they do and the effects that they bring in. So, you know, that's kind of nice when you see it all together, but this is all one show. And so, you know, each show is the complete show. So anytime you catch it, and it's showing every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at different times. So,
yeah. And it's everything from, you know, computer driven to, there's even one of them is, even painted on glass. And then there's a claymation, so it's, you know, multiple different styles and types of, animation. So
is there a online, can somebody catch the preview on your website perhaps?
Yeah, we do have the trailer online on if they click. And again, when you go to our website, you actually have to click, you know, when you click on it, you're not buying a ticket right away. So you can go ahead and click on it, and then that takes you into it. So you can actually click on the trailer.
I watched that trailer and I thought I was very impressed just by the trailer. Just doesn't tell you anything about the story particularly, but just the number of different styles, more than I was expecting. I mean, different than I was expecting. Looked very cool.
Yeah.
And the other part is there's a lot of these you're never going to get to see if you don't come see a collection like this. You're not going to have access to them. So, so that's nice to also include things that, you know, you can't get online. You can get everything online nowadays. So it's nice to see it on the big screen and to catch things that you can't catch anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too off track here, but I just saw Sandy Compton walk by, and that reminded me that we just had our concert last week at the Panda
Absolutely.
Theater.
It was so fabulous. What a success.
Yeah. Were you guys both there?
Becky, absolutely.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah. And great music. The music is amazing.
Yeah. Good music and a full house. We love it when the Panda is just bustling with people. So that's our favorite time, is when the Panda is full and alive with people. So,
yeah. Well, thank you for putting that on for us.
Absolutely. It was our pleasure to host it. So,
And Sandy Compton works at Scotchman Peaks, and I would call him an authoritative dancer. Because,
really?
Yes, because there were a couple people couples out down in front, just one or two, dancing right away. But then as soon as Sandy got up and went down, it was sort of a signal to the rest of the audience that it's
that
okay.
That anything goes.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously. because then it was packed in the front of the house, which I thought was pretty cool. I hope that was okay with you guys, too.
Yeah, no, occasionally when people are new, they ask me why there's so much distance between the stage and the seating. I said, you've never seen people dance, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The show, what are the times? You said it's four different times, four different nights.
So tonight is the opening in the main theater at 7:30. And then Friday, we're showing it in the little theater. And the little theater show starts at 7 p.m. And then Saturday in the little theater at 3 o'clock, and then on Sunday in the main theater at 3:30. That's our mimosas and movies time, 3:30 on Sunday. So you can come have a mimosa and watch animation.
Oh, all right. I was going to maybe come to opening night tonight, but suddenly now Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's tempting. You can have a beer tonight.
So. Okay. Becky, you screened it, and just curious, when you screen these movies, do you just shut down the theater and go in and you get to watch it all by yourself?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Oh, man. That's so cool.
We don't always watch it on the main if we get a screener, but sometimes
you. Yeah, not all the time, but something like this, when you first get it, you do have to test it out to make sure it plays all the way through and you can see everything and, you know, the sound's good all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you can get a feel for that in the first 10 minutes, but Becky has to screen it all the way to the end there.
Because you never know. There might be a glitch somewhere along the way.
Sure. Yeah. It's just good quality. You're doing your job.
That's
responsibly.
Yes, that's right. Quality check.
Yeah, really. Becky, what are you doing? Oh, you're watching cartoons.
No. Mm-hmm. They are not cartoons.
They are not cartoons.
They are animation.
I should throw over to this interview with Ron Diamond before we cover everything here so that we're not repeating ourselves too much.
Yeah, absolutely.
But is there anything else you guys want to say, particularly locally? And
no, just that he's known as a legend. I mean, Becky's known, has been around this since she was a young girl.
Well, one of the things that when I was in college, it was called the, I can't remember the exact title, but it was like the Amazing Animation something, and it started Bugs Bunny. And I was so sick that day. And I, you know, of course, I couldn't go to school. But I could wrap myself in my heavy coat and walk from, you know, Northwest 23rd Street down to Cinema 21 to see the amazing cinema animation celebration, to watch, you know, this culmination of animation shows. And I was talking to Ron about this on the phone when we were first going to get this. And he started laughing. He goes, that was me. I put that stuff together. And I went, you know, and so I was like, oh, this is so cool. So, you know, I had this tie basically to him from way back then. And so then that started it rolling. And we just started talking about all the stuff he'd done in his lifetime about pulling animation together. And he's just done this his whole life because he's loved animation so much.
Wow. Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah. He didn't toot his own horn in the interview too much.
He's a pretty humble guy.
Sounds like he's got quite a career behind him.
Yeah.
And hopefully in front of him too. Now that he's showing this in art houses, hopefully this is, maybe you'll get this back next year.
Yeah.
The 18th
annual. Yeah. I'm hoping it's the beginning of a long thing that we get to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys very much for coming in.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Patricia, sounds like maybe we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We got to talk about our new dinner theater.
So. Yeah. That's we won't get into that right now.
We but won't there give is, away all the surprises.
No, but there is dinner theater coming to the Panada.
Yes.
I saw that on the marquee and I was immediately intrigued. Coming up right now, an interview with Ron Diamond. I'm one half of this conversation, and Ron Diamond got him on the phone from, I think, California, right?
Yeah,
I think that's where we tracked him down. Yeah, he's a fascinating guy. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Thank you for listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. Thank you, Becky and Patricia, for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are talking to Ron Diamond, the founder and executive producer of Acme Filmworks and the co-founder and president of Animation World Network. How are you today, Ron?
I'm terrific. Thank you, Jack.
Before we talk about the upcoming show, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in animation and your interest there?
Well, 26 years ago, we started Acme Filmworks, and I started it because I knew all these really marvelously talented animators who I had come to meet while producing the International Tournée of Animation back in the 1980s. This was a collection of short films that were put together as a theatrical program and released primarily at art houses. And I had come to know quite closely a lot of these people and wanted to find an opportunity to work with them. And so Acme specifically produces commercial work mostly and title sequences and things like that with super talented artist animators. And so that's where I first came to know them. And even before then, I had my own distribution company. But since then, I started the Animation Show of Shows because I was going to all these animation festivals looking for new talent. And realized I've seen all these great short films. It was all before YouTube. And thought, well, gosh, you know, I should take these films out and share them with my friends. And so I took them over to Disney and DreamWorks and Sony and all those places. And they were really embracing them in the schools like UCLA and CalArts and Harvard, and Emily Carr up in Vancouver and other places. And finally, after 16 years, I was realizing I was getting old and I couldn't do this for free anymore. And so I started a nonprofit, and we wanted to bring the show to the public. So this is the first time we've ever been able to present these great shorts to the public.
Yeah, that's what I just found out, is that this is the very first time, I guess, that the public will be able to see them without going to one of the places that you just mentioned. When did you start? How far along are you in the process of taking this around to art houses and stuff?
Well, we've played in over 50 cinemas across the United States, Canada, Australia, and South Africa so far. And we are continuing to book more places in the U.S. and around the world. It looks like we have interest in having the show play in Cairo, in Beirut, in Amman, Jordan, in throughout Italy, Poland, Russia. The hope is to not just educate the American populace, but also the world as to the wonders of these fabulous short films.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that I guess it seems like certain parts of the world have kind of embraced animation as an art form for all ages. But here in North America, it seems like somehow there's a little bit of like a stigma attached to it that these are for kids. And if you're out of high school and you still enjoy watching anything animated, you know, you're just a little bit, you've got a little arrested development. You should be watching movies with actors in them, not pictures.
Well, there is that thought, though we know that in the cultures of both Japan and Korea, there's huge interest in animated films and higher awareness of illustrated books and such for the general populace. But in America, we don't really have a wide acknowledgement of the animated short film. But we actually have a greater awareness than most countries do, remarkably. Many countries like Germany and France really don't have an opportunity to see these films in the cinema. And for me, that's really the goal, is to see it up on the big screen and allow yourself to be immersed in these beautiful stories. If you have a moment, I'll share with you that I'm particularly inspired by a short film that won the Oscar in 1987 called The Man Who Planted Trees. And it's a film that has inspired literally hundreds of thousands of people to go out and plant millions of trees. And to me, that's really representative of the kind of impact that a short film can have on its audience, that you could sit through a 30-minute film, be so moved to immediately want to go out and plant a tree. It really is an amazing implication that the short film can take somebody into a different place, suspend our disbelief, and accept the story and enjoy it and embrace it into our lives.
The animation show of shows, I haven't seen it yet, but I have seen the trailer for it, and I was struck by the incredible variety among these shorts of the different styles of animation. You know, here you tend to have you get, say, The Simpsons, and you get Disney Pixar, and otherwise, you know, there's kind of, those are the kind of two animation styles that we get to see here. But this was just in the trailer, the extreme variety of visual art that you're exposed to. I don't know. I was very impressed by it and really got me thinking.
Well, the reality is that regardless of the technique that's used in creating the animation, none of the stories are so complicated that people can't understand them. We've had adults. We've had a 94-year-old woman, a friend of mine, came to watch it, and I've spoken to many 6-year-olds who've seen the show, and they all enjoy the show. But you're right. The techniques are really quite varied, and the countries that these films come from are also quite varied. So we have several films from the U.S. and France and Ireland, but we also have them heading much further east. We have work from Australia and Iran and Russia. And here we discover narratives, stories that are very compelling to us. And it's kind of reassuring when you watch the films to realize that we can relate to the stories that are being told around the world. And the techniques, as you were describing, we have computer animation, traditional stop-motion animation shot on a soundstage. And then we have a technique, for instance, one of the films is clay that's been applied to a surface of glass and then manipulated frame by frame to create beautiful animation. And that's a film produced here in America. So it's a lot of different ways of using a variety of different techniques of animation to tell lots of stories.
How did you, now these are all films from the year 2015, is that right?
Some of them go back to 1 or 2 years because they hadn't been seen previously in North America.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for the most part, they're all new. And that is sort of the organizing principle behind the show of shows.
Yeah.
And that is to bring the newest, freshest, most current subjects, both in narrative and visual, to the local audience. And that's been my objective in presenting shows for the studios, is to offer them a real quick insight as to what's happening around the globe in animation. But of course, everybody enjoys these films.
How do you find them? What's the process for discovering these?
It's a tough job I have. While people toil away at work, I travel to exotic places like France and Germany and other countries, Italy, and depending on the given year, I may go to 3, sometimes 4, 5, or even 6 animation festivals. So far this year, I've been to Germany, and I just came back last week or 2 days ago from the Stuttgart International Animation Festival, where I served on juries, I presented programs, but I also had the privilege of sitting through and watching short films and seeing the newest work. I'll be in France in Annecy, which is the just outside of Geneva, a beautiful city, a medieval town where people gather, as many as 7,000 people from around the world gather to look at and talk about animation on every single different level, whether it's a short film, commercials, documentaries, feature films, TV shows. There's a market there. It's an amazing event and a chance to meet up with lots and lots of animators. Later this year, I'll be in Portugal at another animation festival. And still later, I'll probably be in Denmark presenting programs and, again, looking for new animations. So it's these are films that don't find their way everywhere. And I find when I travel to further places, like I've been to the Republic of Georgia, right on the border of Russia with tanks pointed at us, if you can imagine such a thing. I've been in India and China and Japan and Korea. You know, I travel to discover new works and meet the people, because that's a big part of it. And always looking for new directors to work with for my production company, Acme Filmworks.
Hmm. Is this, and maybe you just answered this question, but and the answer might be no, but is there anyone, any names or maybe past credits that we would recognize, or are these strictly the newest, unknown filmmakers?
Well, at the time you wouldn't have known them. But this is the wonderful thing about animation. Most of the people working today have their foundations as former college students who made short films. So John Lasseter, who's the founder of, one of the key creative heads, the chief creative officer at Pixar Animation and Disney, Walt Disney Animation Studios, I distributed his student films back when I was in college. Pete Docter, the director of Inside Out and Monsters, Inc. Andrew Stanton, the director of Finding Nemo and Finding Dory. He made beautiful short films. These are some of the names that you might recognize, certainly yeah. in terms of their credits, but you may not necessarily recognize their names in the common space, but they are supremely talented. And we've had recent directors whose films were in the show of shows and went on to get recent Oscar nominations right out of film school. People like Jeremy Renner, who Benjamin Renner, sorry, not Jeremy Renner, Benjamin Renner, who is French, and he made a film, Ernest and Celestine, which was nominated 2 or 3 years ago, feature film. But we showed his short, and nobody knew who he was, and probably a few people more know who he is. But he's amazingly talented.
This do you think this is going to continue? Are you already looking for next year's shorts?
Well, as a matter of fact, we did a Kickstarter campaign to raise the money so that we could actually pay the filmmakers for their films and so that we could produce documentaries for the show. We did that a year ago, and we're about to launch another Kickstarter campaign for the Animation Show of Shows. That'll launch at the beginning of June. It'll probably only run a month, but we were able to raise $108,000. And I think that's kind of a referendum from our business to say, from people who work, and we had a lot of celebrities, famous animators who maybe their names may be obscure to the general populace, but you know, the director of Brave, Brenda Chapman, and Peter Gabriel, and you know, people of high stature within our business contributed generously to the campaign. And I think the reason that they did was because they want to see these short films in the public space. They want the general populace to be able to see the shorts and enjoy them and discover them and find the beauty within them. And often they're one-off films, and that's the problem with these shorts, is that we don't see repetitions of the subjects. Each time it's a creative challenge to tell a new story in a different visual way.
Mm-hmm. The documentary angle sounds just as fascinating to me for some of these. So, I mean, to see how...
Well, you know,
sorry,
most people think there's a button on a computer that says, you know, cool animation, you know, or really good animation. But in fact, you know, most of the people who do animation draw and need to figure out their stories. So we have a film in the program called We Can't Live Without Cosmos, which was nominated for the Academy Award. That film took 4.5 years to make.
Wow.
4.5 years to make. You've never heard of the filmmaker, and you probably won't remember his name, Constantine Bronzit, but it's a beautiful film. It was nominated for the Academy Award. 3 years of that, he was spent doing storyboards and preparing a timed animatic, which is a series of static frames put to motion, put to video in time, so that he could figure out the timing of it. It's like a house of cards. One has to figure out the exact way to tell the story. And so the director's job is very, very challenging because they're like a screenwriter, except they're also the director of photography and the director and the actors all at the same time. They have to perform everything all on their own. And so in this instance, it took a long time to make the film, but we used the opportunity with the money that we were given by our community and by people who responded to this in the Kickstarter to produce these four documentaries to kind of show the audience a little bit about the behind-the-scenes process, a little bit about the technical process, but more importantly, what it was within each of the individuals within the story that motivated them to want to tell their story. Why would Constantine Bronzit want to spend the better part of 5 years to make a short film that normally would be left in relative obscurity? But thanks to the show shows, of course, we're expanding his reach beyond anything he ever would have had previously. As is the case for all 11 films. So we see documentaries shot in L.A., in Dublin, in St. Petersburg, Russia, and in Tehran. And when we get to discover our friends in Tehran and we see them talking glowingly of Walt Disney, for instance, as somebody who they really admire, and we see them leading normal lives, working men and women in an office, pursuing a passion for animation, and walking around the streets of Tehran, it just looks like a normal city. It could be Los Angeles or New York or Toronto. It doesn't really feel like the kind of place that our traditional news would make us think that it would be like. So it's kind of calming to see these artists in their world and understanding what drives their passions and why they want to make these films. And I have to tell you, the documentaries have been very successful, and they're very short. They're only about 3 minutes long, just under 3 minutes each. But they really give us a sense of insight into the individual and why they made their films.
Hmm. Are most of these just small, like in small teams or individuals doing this, or are there any larger groups of people producing these?
Within this particular show, normally not. They're pretty small. Mm-hmm. It's usually one director who drives the project, and you know, they may get helpers, people to contribute time, composers, of course, and editors, and people who do compositing, blending the different elements of a single frame together to make a single image. But usually they're fairly small teams. We're talking about 20, 30, 40 people at tops.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a short film made by Pixar, sometimes, you know, or Disney, you might see 100 or more people who worked on it.
Yeah.
And there, in those instances, people might be involved in working on the film for a day or a week, but not necessarily through the duration of the process. So those films, too, are driven by single vision filmmakers, by a single auteur.
When we're talking about short films, and 11 in the animation show of shows, roughly how long are these pieces?
They range. The longest film I think is 16 minutes or 15 minutes, and the shortest film I think is about 3 minutes.
Hmm.
You know what they say about acting? There's no small part. They're just small actors, right?
Yeah.
You know, these are, each film has its own narrative, its own way of telling its story, its own creative approach. And they all stand alone on their own merits. And, you know, you could be watching a film from Switzerland and then go on to a film from France. And the program is woven together, meaning that it's curated both in the selection of films, but in the order of the films, so that you feel a nice range of experiences. You may feel emotional while watching the program because you feel very heartfelt experiences by the characters within these films. But each film stands on its own. They're all really great films. But In this instance, we want the whole show to be seen as one entire program, like a feature film that you'd normally go to see.
Yeah. In the 17 years now that you've done this, and also just looking towards the future, how have you seen the art and business of animation change? And what do you think is coming in the years to come?
Well, I have to say that in the little tiny niche market of the independent short film that I present, I am really privileged that it hasn't changed much. These are creative examples of personal stories, and this exists entirely outside of the Hollywood international distribution market scheme. So these films display a huge amount of freedom by the creators of each narrative. And so I can't say there's any particular technique. I mean, certainly the process of animation has become much more democratized. The tools are less expensive to have access to. People who are inclined to create animation are generally highly skilled and very, very focused on the subjects that they're making their films on. But in terms of visual treatments, I have shown dozens of different kinds of techniques of animation. And even with the scope of hand-drawn animation, there's a whole range within that. In this instance, I'm really afforded the opportunity to show the best of the best and really choose films that will play as a nice program. But I can't say that there's really a trend in this kind of animation. Maybe the stories are more personal than they have been before. They delve deeper into a personal psyche, whereas maybe back in the 1950s, 60s, and leading into the early 70s, they were more about cartoons, and they were less introspective. So now they really kind of go into a space that can be quite cartoony, yet you can find that there's a point to these films, that they want to carry an important message, or that they want to just make you laugh really hard.
You know, what you just said there, I just sort of realized that this is maybe, I mean, filmmaking is a famously collaborative medium, and you usually end up with the expression of a variety of different artists on the screen. Sometimes you get contrasting visions of what the final film should be, but this is really, particularly these short films, is maybe the only way that a person could make strictly individual self-expression on a movie screen. I mean, it would take lots of time and lots of work, but this is maybe the only way you could do a dramatic presentation just by yourself, really showing the audience what's in your head.
It's often commented on that the art of short filmmaking, whether it's live action or animation, is akin to the feature film as the poem is to the novel.
Hmm.
Each has its own merit, but they achieve a very, very different experience with the participant, the reader, the viewer. And the only other thing I would throw in here is that children's books and animated short films have a lot in common in that they are usually concise, well-conceived stories that are artfully visualized and carry a big wallop. They're beautiful. They leave you with something important to remember. And but they are true, as you point out. These are usually individual visions. They're not a team effort. They may require other people who have skills, but they are really at the service of the director who has the vision. Whereas when you go to see a movie and you see an animated feature film and you see 1,000 credits on there, it requires not just an army of artists, but you need a major, rank of, really big team of people to figure out what that picture is going to be. And often major movies have marketing people who weigh in on the subject of the film. And the short, they're not so concerned about that because they don't really see it as a economic force. So the filmmakers are generally left alone, unless they're producing a short for another purpose, as a promotional video or an educational video or something like that.
We touched on this earlier, but who's your target audience for this? Who's listening right now who should go see this movie?
Everyone.
Yeah.
Who has had a kid or was a kid. It's really not targeted for pretty much, 2 to 5 year olds, just because there are bigger concepts. They won't be disturbed by it. There's no vulgarity. There's no violence. There's no sex. There's no action. But the themes are big ideas. This program is a very different approach to communicating a compelling, entertaining story or multitude of stories. When you go to see the newest film at one of the studios made an animated movie, they're generally family movies that appeal to adults. In this instance, these movies appeal to adults, but attract the interest and are entertaining for children as well.
Well, as we move to wrap up, I'll be talking to Becky in a moment from the Panda Theater to talk more specifically about when and where you can see this and what brought it to Sandpoint. But is there anything I've forgotten to ask you? Anything you'd like to mention before we go?
Well, the only thing I can say is that we're going to be in Sandpoint for a short window of time, and I really encourage anybody who's even remotely interested to gather all their friends and go see it. You'll have hours of conversation, fun conversation, engaging conversation after you've seen this program. People are abuzz with excitement because there are so many different stories told within this 97 minutes. And all I can say is have fun, because I know you will. It's an amazing assembly of marvelous short films, and I appreciate everybody who goes and links on us. If people like us and share us on Facebook, that'd be fantastic.
Well, Ron Diamond, producer of the 17th Annual Animation Show of Shows, thank you very much for taking the time today.